It's showtime,
ready,
people.
Ready for this?
Dr. Dre laying down the music.
Time is now.
Hit him with it, Dre. Hit him with it. Hit him with it, Dre. Hit him with it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You love it.
Hit him with it, Dre. Hit him with it.
We're not ready for all that. Oh, man. Welcome once again to Talking Sports the 12th Man. You know, we like to change things up just a little bit, and that's what we're doing. So, obviously, welcome once again. Today is Wednesday. What is it, December the 28th? This is going to be our last show for the year 2011 for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for
December 28th. Happy birthday to my grandmother out there tonight.
Oh, happy birthday to Rob's grandmother. Yeah, that's right. Hopefully she'll show us some love too. But like you said, a lot of good things. This is the last show of the year, and we want to just kind of wrap it up strong. And like I said, thank you for everyone that's been listening in and all that fun stuff too. But anyway, I guess let's get started, Rob, and let's jump right into this. Once again, for those that don't know, Andre Peterson, along with Robert Ford, your host for Talking Sports with the 12th Man. And we got a lot of things to recap. We're going to talk about some NFL. Obviously, that's the top of mind because of some big games that just happened and also some big games this weekend. We may jump into some Pro Bowl stuff, but we'll see how the show goes. Some NBA teams that are impressing us so far with the short season. And obviously, we're going to jump into some college football. So, that being said, Robert Ford, you ready to get started with some NFL talk?
Oh, yes, yes. Let's kind of get into a recap on some of the games this past weekend. And, of course, congratulating Drew Brees on breaking Dan Marino's passing record. And it looks like Tom Brady is probably going to even pass Dan Marino this coming weekend. So it looked like two quarterbacks are going to break Dan Marino's record this season. And what's amazing about that is that neither one of those guys will be MVP this year. Aaron Rodgers is, definitely the most deserving in the MVP category, in my opinion. It looked like Drew Brees might get Offensive Player of the Year this year, but Aaron Rodgers is definitely the deserving most valuable player this season. And some of the playoff positioning is starting to take shape in the NFL. Of course, 12 teams make it to the playoffs. 9 teams have already in. There's still 3 undecided positions. And there's still some seeding that, you know, could change and take shape a little bit this weekend. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Green Bay Packers, you know, they're definitely the number one seed in the NFC. And I believe the Houston Texans, at the number 3 seed in the AFC, are the only 2 teams where their playoff seeding is locked and nothing can change this weekend. And so in New England, Green Bay number 1 in the NFC, that is done regardless of their win or lose this weekend. And Houston is number 3 in the AFC, regardless if they win or lose this weekend. So I think those are the only 2 teams where their playoff positioning is just kind of locked in stone. I don't know if there's any games you want to tap into from this past weekend, or you want to kind of get right into the big games this upcoming weekend in NFL.
Yeah, just real quick, obviously I'm here for all my Falcon fans out there that have been calling into the radio shows, and just to kind of say once again, for those that are calling in, the number is 424-243-9519. Like I said, obviously, you guys know we're Falcon and Saints fans, if you will, and obviously I want to congratulate Drew Brees as well. I think Drew Brees is a class act. It was a good game until probably the second quarter, if you will. But other than that, it's been amazing how, you know, we were able to not play to our best. But like I said, you know, we got a lot of things to take care of. So congrats, Rob. I know it takes a big man to actually come out and say that too. So, just wanted to, show you some congratulations, and we're looking forward to, if we do play you guys again, we'll see how everything plays out. But,
certainly appreciate that. Appreciate the congrats. Thanks a lot.
Very big game. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I was just going to pass the baton to you. Go ahead and take it. So there you go. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, great. Yeah, we got got about four games that I kind of wanted to look into in the NFL this weekend just to kind of offer some insights. I like to cover the games where you got two teams with winning records going head-to-head, and then maybe we can talk about how these games are going to impact some playoff seeding. The first one I was going to tap into here was Detroit at Green Bay. And it's kind of interesting. Green Bay, like we talked about just a few minutes ago, they're already locked in at the number one seed and don't know how they're going to approach it. Are they going to rest their key players? And, you know, are they going to start Matt Flynn at quarterback, or are they going to play Aaron Rodgers a little bit and then sit him? So we're not quite sure, you know, how they're going to approach this game. Detroit, as we speak, is the number five seed in the NFC. If they win this game, they will be the number five seed in the NFC. If they lose and Atlanta wins, then Detroit will drop to number six, and Atlanta will be number five in the NFC. So I guess my question to you is, knowing what we know about how these teams are going to approach this game, and, you know, Detroit might even approach this game to rest their starters. They may not think being a five or six seed matters. And so that should be real interesting. So my question to you is, who you think is going to pull this one out, Detroit at Green Bay?
Wow, this is a tough one. You know, I'm kind of in the realm that if you believe what Mike Mularkey is, or Mike McCarthy, I'm thinking of our offensive coordinator, Mike McCarthy, I think he may actually, he's saying that he's going to play him fully, and maybe he may play Aaron Rodgers to get that lead and kind of like turn off the gas and keep him going. And I think the Packers are gonna win that game. Now, granted, like I said, I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think the Lions are going to give them all that they have, but I do think the Packers are going to try to go into the playoffs kind of on that winning streak and kind of keep everything going. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Detroit in this one. I know it might shock a lot of people out there, but I'm just kind of going to go along with the thinking that I just don't see McCarthy playing his key players this entire game. And,
wow.
So I'm gonna go with a little bit of an upset here. And Detroit, a lot of people don't know this name, but Detroit just picked up a running back by the name of Jordan Bell. He was on a Saints practice squad, and they just signed him to the active roster. I'm surprised that the Saints have been able to keep this guy on a practice squad all year. And I think this guy is a sleeper running back prospect, a guy that I think will really help the Detroit Lions. And I'll be shocked if Detroit doesn't play him right away. And I actually like Detroit to go on the road and pull this one out. Just for that simple reason, that I just don't see Green Bay playing their starters. Matt Flynn has performed admirably in the games that he's had to replace Rodgers, but I just think that they're going to be resting too many other key people, and that's what's going to. If Matt Flynn was playing with the rest of the starters, I would actually pick Green Bay to win this game. But I think he's going to be resting a lot of other people on both defense and offense. So I'm going to go with Detroit on that one. The next one, we have Tennessee here at Houston. As you mentioned, Houston is locked in at the number three seed in the AFC. Tennessee actually has a shot to get in the playoffs in here with a win and with a little bit of help. And so they're still in this matchup. And Tennessee at Houston.
Yeah, you can't help but think that Houston's going to go ahead and win. Tennessee's going to win. I'm thinking opposite here. I think the Titans are pulling someone out just because I think they have more to lose at this juncture. I don't think Houston is going to be all excited about it. They're already clinched, as you mentioned, so I'm going to go opposite and kind of pick the Titans in this game.
I totally agree with you for the same reasons. I'm going to pick Tennessee on the road. Houston's been struggling the last few weeks. I know Wade Phillips is back, so I'm sure they're going to try to get that defensive continuity back that they've been having most of the season. But I just think this week Tennessee's got a lot more to play for, and with the opportunity to possibly sneak into the playoffs as a wild card. The next matchup is a big NFC North matchup, Baltimore at Cincinnati. And we can talk about a little bit about the seeding implications here. As we speak, Baltimore is the number two seed in the AFC. With a win and a Patriots loss, they can move up to the number one seed. But if Baltimore loses and Pittsburgh wins, then Baltimore could drop all the way to number 5 seed. So Baltimore could either be 1, 2, or 5, depending on whether they win or lose this game. And so that should be really – if Baltimore wins, they definitely win the division, and at worst they'll be a 2 seed. If they win and the Patriots lose, they are a 1 seed. And but like I said, if they lose and Pittsburgh wins, and Baltimore drops to a 5. And Cincinnati, if they win, they are in the playoffs. And even with the loss, if with the loss, Cincinnati can get in with a Tennessee, Oakland, and Jets loss. So that's a so the best thing for Cincinnati to do is win, and they're in the playoffs. And this game is at Cincinnati, Baltimore. So, like I said, there's a lot of playoff scenarios with just this game alone, Baltimore and Cincinnati. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Cincinnati wins this game at home.
Wow. You know, you had a lot of scenarios, Robin, and that's kind of where I may have to agree with you because just obviously Baltimore has not been playing that good the past couple of weeks, so... I think this the Cincinnati is going to kind of throw caution to the wind. They're going to kind of pull out all the stops, and they're going to do what they have to do to actually upset because I don't think the Ravens are as motivated. So we'll see if we're right on this one as well.
Yeah. Okay. And the last game I want to talk about real quick for the NFC East Championship: Dallas at the New York Giants. Both teams are 8-7. The winner will automatically be the 4 seed in the NFC. And we'll either host Detroit or Atlanta in the playoffs in the first round next week. And who you like in that matchup?
I like the Giants. I like the Giants in this game. And I got to say, unfortunately, I'm kind of swayed via fantasy because I know Tony Romo getting over that hand problem that he had. I don't know. I just think that Tony Romo hasn't proven to me that he can win, and I think the Giants are kind of poised. So that's why I'm predicting this particular game.
I totally agree with you. I'm picking the Giants here. They're at home. They're going to be hungry. The crowd is going to be rowdy in this game. We don't know quite sure how Tony Romo is going to – the injuries are going to affect him. I'm picking the Giants to win this game and get into the playoffs. So the winner of this game is simply in the playoffs and is the number 4 seed. And so that one is pretty simple with seeding implications. And I know we've kind of used up close to 12 minutes of the show already. And if you want to go ahead to callers, if you're going to call in and join us on piggybacking on some of this NFL talk, 424-245-9519. Did I get that right?
243-9519. You got it. We're here.
Yes.
Showing some love.
Yes. yes, we want to piggyback on some of this NFL talk. We want to probably tap into it just real quickly onto some NFL talk, and then we got a lot of bowl games we want to kind of tap into real quick in the next week here. The bowl season is getting ready to really heat up here in the next week. But I know we're about 3 or 4 days into the NBA season, and just want to kind of highlight a few teams that we thought have been playing well so far this year. And last week, for those of you out there that may have heard the show, Andre and I both picked the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Miami Heat to meet in the NBA Finals. Both teams, as of tonight, are both 3-0, so both of our predictions are looking pretty good there. And I guess those are two teams that we can highlight a little bit that's kind of getting off to a pretty good start. And then and a couple other surprise teams out there. And want to even talk about your Atlanta Hawks with two blowout wins, New Jersey and Washington tonight. And I kind of think that the Hawks are definitely in that realm, closer to the Miami Heat, and now I think they could be the team that even faces the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. I think they may even be a step above the Bulls this year in the Hawks, and Boston looks to be declining, and my Hornets even beat Boston by 18-19 points tonight. And it looks like they may be declining. But the Knicks are a team that's on the rise we've got to watch for. So I don't know if you want to mention any other teams out there or if you want to talk about your Hawks a little bit and the Heat and the Thunder.
Yeah, like I said, I appreciate you showing the Hawks some love. And actually, I was watching the game, and it was pretty interesting to hear that, you know, we picked up a very underrated signing was Tracy McGrady, and from a guy that apparently could have picked anyone, and he decided to go with us, and this was something they were commenting. They said, basically said he looked around the league and he said the Hawks went to the playoffs last year, and he really felt that he can come in and actually have a role and help out this team. So, you know, last year I know he had an explosive score with Jamal Crawford, and I know you lost some scoring punch, but actually you kind of added a little bit more balance because we added a lot of key pieces. We added Vladimir Radamanovic, if you will. We added, what's his name? Yargo? What's his name? You guys?
Gennaro Pargo.
Gennaro Pargo. I can't think of his name. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And then, obviously, so we added some pieces that, you know, and obviously Jerry Stein.
I like Willie Green, too.
Guy.
I don't know if he's having an impact on the Hawks yet, but,
I like
him as a player as well. Mm-hmm.
So we added about, you know, more players and kind of increasing the bench. So it's one of the situations where right now we're kind of cautiously optimistic. I know I am because, you know, we had a good start a couple times too. But this is actually looking like a pretty good team. So we'll see how everything plays out. We added a lot of depth. Marvin Williams is actually playing better. I can't keep talking about him. But, you know, we'll see how everything's playing out. Also, I'll let you jump in. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to mention a couple other sleeper teams that be out on the lookout for is the Denver Nuggets and the Indiana Pacers. And the Denver Nuggets are, I know they're I believe 2-0 or 3-0 as well. And George Karl, if you recall last year after the Carmelo trade, that team really started getting hot. And they're playing good team basketball. They got Nene back, DeNiro, and they look like a team with Ty Lawson running the point guard now. They're running and gunning, playing good ball. Indiana picking up David West, and you know, to go along with Tyler Hansbrough and Roy Hibbert, and that team, Darren Collison and George and Danny Granger. Indiana's another sleeper team, and they played the Bulls real tough in the playoffs last year. So I didn't mean to cut you off there. I don't know if you had you were getting ready to make another comment before I was getting ready to say that.
No. You're doing good. Like I said, I think definitely Ty Lawson has stepped up his game tremendously. You know, this is one of the situations where you know, Ty Lawson is playing well. I think he's going to be a serious contender for All Star. And they were good to have Andre Miller come off the bench here, kind of hanging around. So that's a great pickup as well. And like I said, and obviously Indiana, they're doing their thing. You're hoping that Roy Hibbert plays well. Obviously, he's a big piece of the puzzle. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's very interesting to these teams that are actually making some progress. You can't help but like the Clippers, what they did. I know that's kind of a sore spot with you. But, you know, there are some teams there, and not, we talked about as well the Memphis Grizzlies, if I can get everything out. You know, they lost Rudy Gay, like he's coming back. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Clippers lost by 25 at San Antonio tonight, but I'm kind of becoming a Clippers fan, so I don't really have any ill will toward Chris Paul. I think most of us here are glad it's over and ready to move on and see what we can build with the new young pieces that we have. And so I'm actually somewhat of a Clipper fan now. So, but yeah, but they got to hand it to them down in San Antonio tonight. And the Grizzlies lost a tough one at home to OKC. But, you know, as we both mentioned, we think OKC is going to be in the finals this year. And the Lakers are getting off to a rough start, but I still think the Lakers are going to have a pretty good team. And once they get Bynum back, but I do think they're going to be a slight drop-off, but definitely still a playoff team with the Lakers. I think, you know, they're lacking some athleticism at the point guard position now, and Derek Fisher's starting to get some old legs there. And so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, and for the rest of the show, I'm changing my name to Peace Be Still. In honor of Meta World Peace, so we're calling it Peace Be Still. For the rest of it, no, I'm just joking, guys.
Meta World Peace.
Just amazing how I don't even know what to say about that. But anyway, we've got about 10 minutes to go. 10 minutes for the show.
Yeah,
Rob,
let's kind of get into some of these bowl games. We've got a bunch of them here. We can kind of roll through them pretty quickly and get our little 2 cents and predictions in. I'm going to start off with the Champ Sports Bowl. We got Florida State on the road at Notre Dame. Well, no, well, this is a bowl game, so it's not technically, these are all neutral sites, I'm sorry.
But what's the game? It's, what was it, Florida State at Notre Dame? Was that,
yeah,
the
Florida State
game?
Against Notre Dame. You know, it's, these are neutral site games.
That's right, that's right. I'm still going to hold out hope
down in
that,
Orlando.
That it's going to be Florida State in this game. I don't trust Notre Dame just yet, but I think that Jimbo Fisher learned a lot from his coaching under Les Miles and is going to get that team prepared to play. So I think I'm going Florida State in this game.
I'm going to go Florida State as well. The game's down in Orlando. Even though Notre Dame fans travel extremely well, I just think that Florida State was a team that was preseason ranked in the top five and didn't quite live up to their billing. But I think getting healthy for a bowl game, you might see that kind of team that we thought they may, you know, might could have had this season. So I like them as well in that game. The Valero Alamo Bowl down in San Antonio.
San Antonio,
Washington.
Yep.
Washington against Baylor. Robert Griffith III.
I got to say, I'm a big fan of Robert Griffith III, man. So I'm going with them. I mean, he's going to follow up on his Heisman campaign. And I think he's going to play well, and I think that I know there's been some speculation that he may actually not go into the draft, which I don't think that's going to happen, but where he's kind of undecided, if you will. But I think Baylor's going to pull this one out.
Yep, I totally agree. Baylor, 12th-ranked team. I look for Robert Griffith III to have a huge game and a huge showing following up his Heisman, so I like Baylor in this one as well. The Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl, BYU versus Tulsa.
BYU versus Tulsa. This is in Dallas, if I'm not mistaken. This is kind of one of those pick'em games, Robert. It can go either or. I'm thinking that I'm going to lean towards BYU only because I think they have a more explosive offense. I don't know. I could be. I don't know a lot about Tulsa, so I apologize to my people out there, but that's kind of who I'm leaning with.
I'm going to go with BYU as well. A little bit more experienced team. And I think they will win that game as well. The New Era Pinstripe Bowl, Rutgers versus Iowa State.
Wow, Rutgers versus is Iowa State the same team that beat Oklahoma State?
Beat Oklahoma State, yes.
Yeah, wow. I'm thinking Rutgers is going to pull this one out. I just think Rutgers is a better team. Unfortunately, Iowa State's getting by, but yeah.
I'm going to actually defer on you on this one. I'm going to go Iowa State. I think they have a good up-and-coming team, and I think the Iowa State team might be a pretty good sleeper going into next year, too. And
wow.
So, yeah, I think Iowa State is I think they're going to pull this one out. And then
wow.
We have in Nashville, the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, Mississippi State at Wake Forest. Boy, these bowl names are something else. Mississippi State at Wake Forest.
This is another pick'em game. I'm going Mississippi State. Sorry, ACC guys. That's what I'm going with. So there you go.
I couldn't agree more. I like Mississippi State in this game. Battle-tested, playing in the SEC. I like Mississippi State. Then we have the Insight Bowl. Iowa versus 14th-ranked Oklahoma.
Wow. This is going to be a good game. Wow. You know my my feeling about Bob Stoops, right? I don't think he coaches well with the games. I'm going to go Iowa. I think Kurt LaFrance is better, so that's where I'm going with.
I'm going to go Oklahoma on this one. I'm going to go Bob Stoops. I know Kurt LaFrance, the head coach of Iowa, he is a candidate for the Kansas City Chiefs job. But I personally believe if Romeo Crennel and the Chiefs somehow beat the Broncos this weekend, that Crennel is going to get that job. But if the Chiefs lose, then they may still look for Kirk for France. But I like Oklahoma, and Kirk for France might be a little distracted. And,
gotcha. Go ahead.
The next bowl we have here is the Meineke Car Care Bowl of Texas, Texas A&M versus Northwestern.
This is a good game. I think Texas A&M is going to pull this one out. Northwestern is very powerful, but that's where I'm going with. And before we get – I'm going to get your pick. We have two Twitter questions, if you will. So whenever you get this done, let me know, and I'll get those questions out to you as well.
Okay. I'm just going to say Texas A&M real quick. I agree that I think they're going to win. I think they're a team that underachieved this year. Ryan Tannehill looks like he's going to be a great pro. Well, I wouldn't say great, but he's going to be a good pro prospect. I think they live up to their talent and win this game.
What do you think about, real quick, I got to say, the Hyundai Sun Bowl, El Paso, Georgia Tech at Utah, or Georgia Tech versus Utah. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, that was the next bowl game on the list.
Yep. Who do you think is going to pull this one out? I'm a homer, Georgia Tech. Hopefully they're ready to go. They're going to play strong and try to end this win.
I'm going to go Georgia Tech to win this game as well down in El Paso. I don't think Utah has the personnel that's going to be able to keep up with that triple option.
Good deal. Real quick, we got about, if I'm looking at the clock, we got about four and a half minutes to go. Two questions, Rob, that were just tweeted in. This is kind of these are both NFL questions, if you will. So I don't know if you want to get back to that. Question number one is, will Tim Tebow be traded next year? And then this was a Falcon fan. Question number two was Julio Jones snubbed from being in the Pro Bowl? So those are two questions that I have, if you will. So let's see what type of response we get from that.
Okay, yeah, two very good questions. Thanks for those questions. Keep them coming every week. But I'm going to say Tim Tebow will not be traded. He will be a Bronco. I think they're seeing that he has certain intangibles that can help them be a winner. I mean, do he need to improve his passing game? Yes, he does. I mean, he had a bad game this past week with four interceptions. But I think they are seeing that this guy has great leadership skills. He has intangibles. I think they're going to continue to work with him. And I don't see them trading him. He will be a Bronco next year. That's my opinion. And the next question, the Julio Jones gets snubbed from the Pro Bowl. I know, you know, and you can also answer this question too. I know you're a Falcon fan and probably know and follow Julio Jones a lot more than I have. But just based off what I've seen this year, he looks like an incredible talent that's going to be extremely explosive. And probably, in my opinion, has more physical gifts and tools than even Roddy White. And Roddy White is a Pro Bowl receiver. And being a Saints fan, that's really scary, the potential of Julio Jones. But I wouldn't necessarily say that he's a Pro Bowler just yet. So I don't think he got snubbed. But you can give your opinion on that as well.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too, because there was a couple of rookies that were selected to Pro Bowl, A.J. Green, Von Miller, a couple guys. I think I had a quick little news about that, which is pretty interesting to see these young guys getting a lot of talent, if you will. And I think Cam Newton's going to be up there too, which is kind of scary if we're in the NFC South to see how our teams are going to be really, really good coming up. But I agree with you that Julio definitely, he's not quite there yet, but just the potential as a young guy is kind of has you salivating. And obviously, he had a fumble in the Saints game, which, you know, led to a touchdown, which, you know, he's going to make some mistakes, but very similar to teams or to players that, you know, have a lot of talent. They make mistakes, but you'd rather have them because the potential that you see is just there, and then once they put it all together, it is kind of very exciting. So hopefully we can kind of continue to build, and hopefully Roddy will not be too jealous of him and actually realize that having a Julio Jones will actually help his game become a
exactly.
So we got about 9 seconds as we wrap up the show, Rob. Any last words? Thank you for the.
I know we got we still had quite a few bowl games on this list that we didn't get to. I'm just going to skip to some of the big bowl games.
Sure.
We got the Fiesta Bowl, fourth ranked Stanford at third ranked Oklahoma State.
Ooh. Stanford in this one. That's what I'm going with.
I'm going to go Oklahoma State. They seem to be refocused and put the snub behind them. I think they're going to win this one. Sugar Bowl, 13th-ranked Michigan at 11th-ranked Virginia Tech.
Tough one. I'm going to lean towards Virginia Tech.
I'm going to go Virginia Tech as well. I think they bounced back after the whipping Clemson gave them. Logan Thomas comes up big here. Orange Bowl, 23rd-ranked West Virginia at 15th-ranked Clemson.
Tough game. Clemson, only because hopefully I'm going to get the good Clemson.
I'm going to go Clemson as well. Rose Bowl, 10th-ranked Wisconsin versus 5th-ranked Oregon.
Tough game, too. I like Wisconsin because of the running game.
I'm going to go Oregon here, a little West Coast flavor there. Capital One Bowl, Nebraska, 20th-ranked and 9th-ranked South Carolina.
Nebraska, only because I don't trust South Carolina right now.
I'm going to go Steve Spurrier, South Carolina. Outback Bowl, 17th-ranked Michigan State versus 16th-ranked Georgia.
Real quick, see you guys next week. I'm going Georgia.
Georgia as well. Thank you, people. Send those questions in next week.
Well, have a good. Thanks for listening. For Talk Sports, 12th Man, Rob Ford, and Andre Peterson, we are signing out. Thanks, guys.
Good night, people.
And we are out. I think it cut us off right there. Man, like it said 10 seconds. That's the thing. You heard it whenever you were listening last time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those things you're like, oh,
yeah, I know,
man.
We kind of got tight on time. I mean, there was a bunch of bowl games this week. I mean, I know the last couple of weeks when they had like four or five, but there's like 15 of them. And I kind of skipped over these. Since we got short on time, I just kind of skipped to like the big bowls.
Yeah, we could have went. Yeah, there's like, you know, there was still more that were for this weekend. You know, obviously the Kraft Hunger Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Bowl, Liberty Bowl. That could have been either or. I mean, I guess we could have stayed with those because it's stuff that's this weekend, you know, and obviously we could, you know, save that for.
Yeah, but these other big bowls are bowls that's going to be played before. What I try to do is cover the bowls.
That's right.
Yeah, so they're going to be played before our next show. And
gotcha.
That's why I kind of skipped to some of the bigger bowls, you know. And,
yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, so the ones we kind of missed were like the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl, AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Chick-fil-A, and I think the only other one we did not get to, the Ticket City Bowl, Houston, Penn State, and the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl.
That's amazing.
The Urban Meyer Bowl, Ohio State against Florida.
Wow.
So yeah, I was good that we got the questions in. So I kind of like that interaction though. So
yeah.
I know that kind of took us off topic a little bit, but I kind of, you know, it's good to get fever. Who sent the questions? Can you tell?
I sent the text in. I got. I'll see who sent them in. But yeah, I'll see how that plays out. Yeah, it's pretty.
Did
cool.
Anybody you know, or you think these were just?
I think
people that we don't even know.
It's somebody that I know. I had to be somebody that I know. It's got to be somebody. Definitely somebody that I know. But, you know, like I said, it's
I think
cool
I heard
that,
Marcy in the background on one thing we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what. Yeah, that's funny.
Did she scream or something?
I think she's listening in, man. I think she's listening in, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like having an interaction. So, I mean, the Tim Tebow and the Hooli. Like I said, it took us off topic, but you know, but still, you like having that fan interaction.
Yeah, you're kind of. It's good that, like I said, it's good to have that. You know, you have something going on in your head. Like, this is where we're gonna go, and the outline of the show is it is what it is. But you know, like I said, it is good to kind of all right. Well, people are kind of listening in, and that kind of makes you feel good too. So.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were good questions too.
Yep.
You know,
like
Tim Tebow and Julio Jones.
Yeah. Like I said, it's going to be interesting, man. I think I wish I would have pulled up the pages for that, man, because there's like five rookies that were selected to the Pro Bowl, and I couldn't get them all. I think I was looking at it initially. I think Von Miller, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, I think, were selected. So that was interesting that they're already in there.
Selected
so.
As a return man, yeah.
Yep. So I wish I would have had that in front of me at the time, but
It's all good. We covered a lot. I mean, we recapped a little bit of this past weekend in NFL and NBA, and then we kind of got into some of the big games and the playoff scenarios and things like that. And I think we covered the bulk of the major bowls.
Yep.
Mhm. Yeah. I mean, I think we covered a good bit of them. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting too, man. I'm looking at the page too, man, and they said my guys on the West Coast have been really big fans of Alden Smith, and they're like, man, they're really impressed with him. And it's pretty interesting because I don't think that the scouts gave him a lot of props. They didn't think he was going to do anything, so I think it's interesting. Not do anything, but I don't think they had him rated as high as we all expected, or they didn't expect him to play as well. So I think
most people think he got snubbed. A lot of people think he should have been in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
and What's really funny is that, you know, a lot of people thought the 49ers reached when they drafted him. And but obviously, you know, sometimes you have to, as an organization, you know, you have to go with your gut. And I think a lot of times some of these guys on TV, like Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, and I mean, I think 90% of the time the information that they're giving is pretty close to accurate, but they miss on some players too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the real general managers, you know, I think they, you know, they have the true evaluation of these people more so than McShay and Mel Kiper do. So, I mean, yeah, Alden Smith, you know, teams in the league probably interviewed him and was like, man, this guy is sharp. He's going to be able to come in and pick up our defense really quick, and he's going to be able to step in right away. To whereas a Mel Kiper, them, they probably don't have the capability of interviewing these guys and see how smart they are in the film room and then studying and, you know, and that kind of thing. Or seeing them in private workouts and how these players are going to fit into these individual teams' defensive schemes and or offensive schemes. So, and,
And I got to say, too, it's interesting because I'm kind of on, we thought that the draft was an exact science, or we don't really know. No one can really know. Because, case in point, I was listening to something, they're talking about how, you know, we're not sure about Mark Sanchez. You know, I know he's been getting, like, ripped up, too, and they're saying, you know, Mark Sanchez, he really hasn't played a lot of games. He didn't have a lot of experience. And, you know, the same thing could be said for Cam Newton. Cam Newton didn't really play a lot, right, last year. You know, he only had, like, 1 year under his belt whenever he finally was able to do what he had to do. So if you look at those two quarterbacks, there's no way you could say, well, is Mark Sanchez going to turn to Cam Newton? You know, Cam Newton, obviously, he has a certain desire to win. He's been a winner, you know, and I guess maybe Matt Sanchez had more of a supporting cast around him whenever he's at USC, you know. So, you know, it was interesting because there's no way you can actually tell who's going to be better. You know, they just said, hey, Mark Sanchez came from the system, you know, the same prototypical ones from, you know, that most quarterbacks come from, he's going to be good. But then, like you said, all you had for Cam, he was very, pretty raw as well, so you didn't know how he's going to end up. So, you know, there's no way how you're going to know who's going to be a good player. I guess it's just if he's going to fit your system or the individual player, as you mentioned, if he's going to do well in the interviews or what type of player, what type of person he's going to be, you know?
Yeah. You're right.
I digress. It was just, I was just interested because they're like, now they're like, maybe Mark Sanchez isn't the guy, you know, because he didn't have enough experience. And you're like, really? Is that really what they're saying? Because Cam Newton didn't have a lot of experience either, so it's a totally different person. Totally different scenario, you know?
Yeah.
I digress. That's what I got for you.
Yeah, that's a good analysis.
How was the Hornets game? Was it good? Yeah, good hanging out?
I didn't go to the game. I watched it on television.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I text you, said I'm going to be good for the show tonight because I didn't go to the game.
You didn't get any tickets?
No, I didn't buy. You know, Gina, she's a, you know, she's a Hornets fan first, but she likes the Celtics.
Wow.
And
okay.
So she kind of wanted to go to the game just to see, kind of like the Celtics. But I was trying to get some only kind of seats that we were going to be able to get together was going to be in the upper deck. And she's not a big fan of upper deck seats in the basketball arena. She's a little bougie, you know.
Wow. That's okay.
So I was trying to buy some tickets, but when I told her all I was going to be able to get was upper deck seats, she said, okay, we'll be better off watching on TV.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool that she actually enjoys watching that, man. So she's a good one. So there you go.
No, so yeah, I didn't go to the game, so.
Gotcha. Hope that's okay, man. Hope you're okay with not going to the game, man.
Oh, no. I mean, I was cool. I mean, like I told you earlier today, I didn't know for sure if I was going, but I was just telling you in the event that I do, you know, I still thought I was going to be still good for the show. You know, whether I was going to be in the car or back at home.
Gotcha. Well, good deal. Like I said, another successful show, man. Thank you for sticking it out, man. Last show of 2011. I promise we'll get better as they go along. And You know, we'll make some things happen, too, because, you know, I have less time. I'll be able to kind of devote some things and look it up stuff. And you know, like we have a general idea of where we're going to go, too. So, this is dress rehearsal, but I'm sure as we get better at it, we'll start getting some feedback and, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think for the most part we do a pretty good job sticking with our kind of format, but you know, we don't always get it in, but we come close.
Mhm. Like I said, we got to think about something that differentiates us too. I don't know if you've been listening to the Snooze, man. They're definitely they've been kind of changed. They've been changing because I guess they got the Sporting News subscription, so they can't be as, you know, dogs and poodles or anything like that, too. So, and I'm not saying we're going to go that route, too, but it is interesting because they've been kind of, you know.
They've kind of mellowed out a little bit.
Definitely mellowed out a lot. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see everything like that, but we got to figure out a little something for us, too. So, whenever I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Okay, Chief. Yeah, we got to come up with something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll think of it. We got some time. Anyway, all right, sir. As always, a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for checking
all
in.
Good, man.
Talk to you soon, man.
All right, Doc. All right.
All right.
Have a good night. All right.
You too. All right, bye.